All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Isaiah, chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And I will read the first seven verses of this chapter. I have been doing a series of Sunday night messages on the prophets. And when I was working my way through the Bible, through the Old Testament, looking at the prophets, we looked at Moses and then David and Samuel and all these different prophets. One Sunday night I have given to each of the prophets. Well, then we got to Isaiah, and I gave Isaiah 2. And then we went to Jeremiah, who is the next prophet in the Bible. But now we're going to go back to Isaiah. I'm going to give Isaiah another turn tonight. So look at chapter 55, verse 1. Verse 1, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price." Now watch this carefully. Here's his question. Here's his argument. All right, so he tells everybody to come to the Lord, is what he's saying. You'll see that in just a moment. But he's saying, if you don't have any money, that doesn't matter. Come on. You need the Lord. That's his argument. Now watch what he says here in verse 2. "Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread?" Why, if you're hungry, why are you spending money on something that's not going to nourish your body? Why are you wasting your money? All right, look at the rest of it. "And your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Now go back to verse 2 and look at his question again. And in the middle part of that question, he asked this. He said, first part, he said, "Wherefore," or why do you spend money for that which is not bread? And why do you labor for that which satisfieth not? I want to speak to you tonight on this subject, satisfied in the Lord. Satisfied in the Lord. All right, keep your Bible open there, and So you can reference a couple of things. And let's pray, and then the message. Our Father, how we thank you for your wonderful word. And I pray you'll bless tonight. I pray you'll help me as I speak. And I pray you'll fill me with your spirit. And Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. I do not know the spiritual heart of every person in this room, but Father, you do. And so I pray that something that is said tonight will help somebody who perhaps is not satisfied with their spiritual condition. They maybe have some questions or maybe some doubts. And Father, may tonight you speak and do a great work in our midst. Bless now, Father, we pray. Give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. All right, here is the prophet Isaiah speaking on behalf of the Lord and asking folks if they are satisfied with the choices that they have made in life. Are you satisfied with the choices that you have made in your life? That's what he's asking them. You see, Israel at this time had been told by Isaiah that the Babylonians were coming and that when they came, they were going to destroy their land. They were going to destroy their cities. A lot of folks were going to die. Isaiah was very strong and very bold with making these prophecies about what was soon to come upon the people. And he is trying to convince them that they need to realize their only hope is to come back to the Lord. He argues in verse 2 with a wherefore question. Basically what he's saying is, what good is it? That's basically what he's asking. What do you possibly hope to gain is what he's asking them. Why, think of it this way, why would you go to the market starving, hungry, and you got money in your pocket and buy something that is not bread? Why would you do that? If you're hungry and you go to the market, why would you buy something that was not going to give you any nutritional value? Now, folks, that's a pretty serious question, don't you think? I mean, it's right there. That would be kind of ridiculous for somebody who is starving to death. He's got money in his pocket, but goes to the store and buys something that is not food. That would be, well, that'd be silly. And then he asked them, why would you go to work all day long and do that which does not satisfy you? And his point is that if they would simply turn to the Lord would satisfy their every need. You know, folks, that's the bottom line right there for all of us. Just come to the Lord and live for the Lord. The trouble is, we don't want to live for the Lord. You know, it's like I've said to you a multitude of times. There is a God-sized hole in every man that only God can fill. Now, people try to fill that hole with a lot of different things, but it never satisfies the hole that is within us, each and every one of us. People try to fill it with religion. They try to fill it with church. They try to fill it with good works, or they try to fill it with power or money or alcohol or drugs. But nothing will fill that empty spot except the Lord. And here is Isaiah's argument. He says, you're hungry. You have money. So so you go to the store. You go to the market, and when you get there, there's a table of bread there for sale. You got money in your pocket, but you bypass the table of bread. There are fresh vegetables there, but you bypass the vegetables. There is fish there, but you bypass the fish. There is meat there, but you bypass the meat. And then you come just before the checkout line, and there is a table full of wooden icons. And so you stop and spend all your money buying an idol. Buying an icon. When you get home, you take your idol and you put it on the mantle. But wait a minute, you're still hungry. Now, though, you have no money. And the argument that Isaiah is making is, hey, you're a foolish person. You have spent your money on that which does not satisfy. Is there not a whole world doing that very thing today? You see, I looked up the word satisfied in Webster's dictionary. And I found out that our English word comes from two Latin words. The first word is satis, S-A-T-I-S, and that word means enough, enough. And the second word is fascio, which means to make. And there is a whole world out there who have not yet found enough to meet their needs. And that's why you see our world just continuing to get worse and worse. Everybody is trying to satisfy and get enough. And folks, the world can never give you enough. It just cannot do it. So the question that I want to ask you tonight is this: are you satisfied in your life? Are you satisfied with your relationship to God? Are you satisfied with your relationship with Christ? Are you satisfied or are you starving? Have you found satisfaction or have you found starvation? You know, there are a lot of folks who are like the prodigal son that we read about in the Bible. And I say that in that they are starving because they have wasted their substance with riotous living. Therefore, they are not satisfied, but are starving. Some are like the rich young ruler that we read about in the Bible and are just so religiously earnest, just like that young man was, religiously earnest, but not one bit satisfied with where all that religion has gotten them. You remember the young man said to the Lord, oh, all these things I have done from my youth. All these things, he declared, I've done all my life. I've talked to folks and asked them if they died today, did they know they'd go to heaven? And I've had people tell me, well, you know, Pastor, I sure hope I would. I sure hope I'm going to heaven. I mean, after all, I was christened and I was confirmed and I was catechized and I was sanitized and simonized and communionized and you know, they go through this whole litany of things that they did growing up. I sure hope I would. You know, the good thing about the gospel is that it is not a hope-so thing. It's a know-so thing. You can know that you're going to heaven. Oh, the dissatisfied multitudes that are in our world today. So my question to you tonight is, are you satisfied with Christ? There are three things I call to your attention. Number one, just making a general observation here, I think everyone is looking for satisfaction in life. I think everybody's looking for that. You know, sadly, most people never find it. And when you stop and think about most of the foolish, ridiculous things that people do, most of those ridiculous things are a pathetic attempt to find satisfaction out of life. These people who drink and who do drugs are seeking to escape their unsatisfied life, hoping to find satisfaction through some temporal means. But every person who seeks satisfaction through these sources is spending money on that which is not bread. They're just like the people Isaiah is describing. Now, I think that this quest and this question for satisfaction is what drives our world today. I really do. And while it can lead men to disaster, I want you to know that this drive that is within us all has been, it's a helpful thing, and it can be a tremendous blessing to mankind. God made us this way. God made us to seek to be a satisfied people. Now, let me illustrate my point. When Karen and I got married back in 1977 and started into the ministry, our first home was a 54 by 10 trailer. 54 by 10. It had wheels on it, which always made me really nervous. And then we moved from that trailer, a 54 by 10, to a 70 by 12 trailer. Woohoo! We were getting up in the world. And not only that, this trailer was up on the side of a mountain. How in the world they got it up there, I have no idea. I never even asked. It was amazing. And so we were trying to do better. Now, thank the Lord, 39 years later, praise the Lord, we live in a 4-bedroom, 2-story nice house. You see, that trailer just didn't satisfy. Every year when it got cold, I ran down to the True Value Hardware store and got those plastic things that you take and tape over the windows because none of the windows would shut. None of them would shut. You could crank on them all day and they weren't going to shut. And so we weren't satisfied with that. So my drive for satisfaction continued and the Lord provided. Our drive for satisfaction in many ways is what makes our lives better. You realize that back 150 years ago, men were not satisfied with our ability to communicate, so we went from printed pages to telegraphs to telegrams to telephones, and now we are communicating to one another with satellites. I mean, it's one of the most amazing things to me is that I can take my cell phone and I can call my wife and say, when we're at the store or at the mall, where are you? And while she is telling me where she is, I come around the corner and I'm standing that far from her, and a satellite, wave goes up from her phone, hits the satellite, comes back down. We're 2 feet apart. That's amazing. But that's our age today. My grandfather rode around on a horse when he was a boy, and then hopped a train, and when he wanted to go somewhere, and then finally bought a car. But today, you can get on a jet airplane and be in California in 4 hours. Absolutely amazing. And in making all of these advances, I submit to you that men have enriched their lives. But the question that we need to look at tonight is this: Are we any more satisfied today than men were 150 years ago? It is doubtful with all these gadgets that we now have that our lives are one bit more satisfied than were the lives of our great-grandparents. And so, folks, the prophet reminds them of the foolishness of never learning the problem. And he cannot believe that folks cannot figure out the vicious circle that they were in and how to get out of it. How does that go? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting different results each time. Well, it's been wisely said that experience is a hard teacher, but fools will learn from no other. And sadly, folks, there are a lot of fools who will not even learn from that. Isn't it amazing the number of people who will get on the same road today that they got on yesterday, and yesterday's road led them to the same dead end that they took the day before that? Why do we keep trying to find satisfaction from those things where none has ever been found before? But we do, don't we? But everybody's looking for satisfaction. Second thing, what advice does the prophet give to these folks? I think there was some wise counsel that was given here. I think that there is some sound, sage advice, some great wisdom that was offered by Isaiah. He knows that if we have failed to find satisfaction, it is not because it's impossible to find it. He knows that. The problem is people look for satisfaction in the wrong place. Look at verse 1. In verse 1, he tells them that they can only find satisfaction in finding God. Look at your verse. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. He, notice, there are three comes right there in that verse. Come to the Lord. Come to the Lord. In verse 1, he cries out to the thirsty man. He cries out to the hungry man. The two basic needs that all of us face every single day. Now in life, these things are gained by work and by spending money. And all of us are more than willing to spend because our hunger and our thirst drives us to be willing to work and to spend money. But Isaiah's point here, he's not talking about physical things here. He's just using this as an allegory, as an example, as an illustration. And Isaiah's point here is that we're to look at this from a spiritual standpoint. And what he's saying is, hey, you folks, listen, come here. You're looking in the wrong place. You're looking in the wrong place. The fountain from which they were drinking was never going to satisfy their thirst. The bread that they were buying was never going to satisfy their hunger. Folks, you can only be satisfied by the Lord Jesus, who is the bread of life. You can only be satisfied by the Lord Jesus, who is the water of life. Isaiah's message was the exact same message that was delivered by our Savior when centuries ago he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And folks, that's the same message that America needs to hear tonight. He advises them that in coming to the Lord, they will be satisfied. Look at verse 3. He said, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. You see, Isaiah told him, hey, folks, in God's presence, our lives find the satisfaction that we're looking for. Our relationship with God is so rich and it's so radiant that we yearn for an eternity of it. God says, I will make an everlasting covenant with you. This is a bargain, folks. This is a bargain because the world cannot offer you this. You see, these people that are controlled by their lust for alcohol, and they drink and they drink and they drink. You know, the Charlie Sheens of this world, the drunkards of this world, the drug addicts of this world, but they never find satisfaction for their soul. They just keep spending money on that which never satisfies, never does. You see these people who lust for power, and it's the driving force in their lives. They lust for money, and it's the driving force. But you ever notice they never have enough? They never have enough power. They never have enough money. But Isaiah's advice is that if we would simply come to the Lord, if we would just simply come to God, we will find that elusive thing that has always just seemed to be outside our reach. We will, we strive to find that satisfaction. We look here for it. We look there for it. And a whole life goes by. And we look around at all that we have collected and all that we have gathered. But still, our heart is an empty void. And Isaiah steps up and he says, hey, folks, here's your problem. You're looking in the wrong place. You need to look to God. You need to look to the Lord. Come to the Lord and you will find what you're looking for. You are looking in the wrong place. And look at all the times the prophet bids us to come to the Lord. 3 times in verse 1 alone. And the man of God says that if we will come to the Lord, he will give us what we need in order to be satisfied. You know, I was thinking back when I was a kid. When I was a child, my aunt and her family dragged me to the Nazarene church. And every Sunday night and every Sunday morning at the invitation, one of them grabbed me by the arm and took me to the altar. And a bunch of people gathered around me and they prayed that I'd get saved. And then they patted me on the head and told me I was saved. Now, I'll be honest with you, folks. All I have are fear memories of that. Fear. I mean, you got a bunch of grown men standing over top of you, and you're a 5-year-old kid, and they're screaming to the top of their lungs like God's deaf. It scared the daylights out of me. And so I left there, and I went to the Methodist church. That's where my grandfather went to church. And I didn't get a thing out of that. I mean, I sat and listened. And I thought, I don't understand this. And then we went to the Baptist church. Glenn Matthews' daddy was the pastor there. And he preached, and I remember hearing about the blood, and I remember hearing about salvation, and I remember hearing about grace, and I remember hearing, I mean, I'm 7 years old, but I remember hearing about those things from Ralph Matthews. I can still see him in my mind's eye with that jet black hair combed back. I can still remember him in the pulpit. And then we left there and we went to, we moved to Cross Lanes, and some people in our community said, hey, we're having a revival at our church. Would you come? And so my mom said, yeah, you boys can go. So we went. And my aunt, my grandfather's sister's daughter was in that church. And I remember they drove those old Rambler cars. You remember those Rambler cars? They drove those old things. And so they come, they picked us up. We rode it to church in the Rambler car. We got there, and I got as far away from her as I could get. And she looked down the end of that row about 5 minutes before the service started, made eye contact, and went. And I thought, busted again. So I had to go all the way down to the front, come back around, and she scooted everybody over, and she said, "You sit right here with me so you'll behave." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She was a big old gal. You didn't want to mess with her. She could give you a look that would absolutely curl your hair. And so I sat down beside her. And that preacher got up there and started preaching. And I'd been playing ball all day long. And so when he started preaching, I made a pillow out of her flabby old arm. Bang! And I was asleep. I slept through the entire service. Never heard a thing. Not a word. And when it came invitation time, we all stood up and I woke up and she pulled me up by my arm and I'm standing there and she elbowed me on the first verse of Just As I Am. She looked down at me and said, "You want to get saved, don't you?" "Yes, ma'am." Next thing I know, I'm back up at the altar getting saved again. Now, I don't know how many hundreds of times I've been saved before. Never of my own choosing, mind you. And that just continued that cycle right along. And I went to this church and that church and dragged to this one and dragged to that one. And then at 16 years of age, I walk in one Sunday morning with my attitude in desperate need of adjustment. And the preacher gets up and preaches a message about how the Lord will save my soul if I'll let him. And I sat there and thought, wow, now that's what I need. And I heard it and I listened and I got under conviction. And down that aisle I came. I said, "I want to get saved." And you know, there's never been another question in my mind. Never. I'm satisfied with Jesus. How about you? I mean, I got baptized twice. Twice. Oh, yeah. My mother one time took the communion and she put it in the thing. She said, "Don't you touch that." I said, "Yes, ma'am." And then when it got time, the preacher said we could drink it. She pulled it out and she handed it to me. I took communion. I thought, well, hey, I'm good. I'm good. Wonder how many other people think that. We went to Bible school at the Presbyterian Church. I got a letter the next week. It said, "Welcome to our fellowship. We're glad you joined the church." My mother looked at me and she said, "Did you join that church?" I said, "No, ma'am." She said, "You did too." I said, "No, I didn't, Mom. I was 8. 8 years old. She said, "You joined." She said, "I know you did." I said, "Mom, I didn't join. All we did was went to Bible school there." Next week, tithing envelope showed up. Serious. Oh, man, I had all these denominations and all these churches and I'd done this and I'd been baptized a couple times and had communion a bunch of times and joined 4 or 5 churches probably. I mean, I went to Bible school a lot. But when I got saved, when I made a conscious decision to trust Christ and I realized only the Lord can save me, that made all the difference in the world. Very quickly, number 3, satisfaction in the Lord is the only true satisfaction in life. That's the only true satisfaction. You know, I sat and thought about this and I became more and more convinced that Isaiah was right on in his assessment of how to find true satisfaction in life. Isaiah's claim is consistent throughout the Bible. David said, "He, God, satisfieth the longing soul." Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Samuel, David, all of them lived and fought the same battles that you and I fight, but found satisfaction only once they came to God. And that's the only way anybody's ever going to find it. And it's not just the folks on the pages of the Bible. It's true for us. As I was preparing this message, I tried to think of how different things would have been had I made other choices that I faced as I was growing up. You know, the Lord brought the airheaded cheerleader into my life. Oh, I can't believe he said that. I've had a ball with that. But you know, I can't imagine life without her. I can't imagine the last 39 years. I cannot imagine. You know, the Lord has allowed me to be able to serve with my son. I mean, he's not only a co-worker, he's not only a son, but he's a friend. There's a relationship there. My twin daughters, who have been just the joy of my life to watch them become mothers and such caring and loving and nurturing people. And to be able to stand before the church, the open door each week and preach the Word of God. You know, I thought this week as I was preparing this message that if I died tonight, I could stand before the Lord in heaven and say, you know, Lord, coming to Christ in 1970 and following the way that the Lord has led me has been a satisfying life. And I hope that you feel the same way about how the Lord has led you. Because, folks, look at verse 3. You see, in verse 3, here's the good part about coming to the Lord. When you come to the Lord Jesus, you're coming to the one who can satisfy in both time and eternity. You see that? He not only satisfies in time, but he also satisfies in eternity. You get all this and heaven too. You know, when I think of my mother, I don't think of her as dead. I really don't. She died when she was 47 years old. But I don't think of my mother. When I think of her today, she's not dead in my mind. She's alive in heaven. She's happy. She's smiling. She's joyful. Fully satisfied in the Lord. When I think of Brother Larry, I think of him as alive and well. I can picture Larry sitting with Elijah in heaven and asking, "Hey, Elijah, when you roasted that meat that the ravens brought you, was that any good? Was that the best you ever had?" Can't you see him saying that to Elijah? Was it the best you ever had? Larry's not dead. My mom's not dead. No, they're alive. Why? Because we've got an everlasting covenant. I think true satisfaction is the only reasonable result of coming to Christ. Now, let me illustrate what I mean, and I'll close. You've heard folks say of a happily married couple that they were meant for each other, right? That their marriage was made in heaven. Now, that may be so. I'm not going to take issue with any of that. But let me tell you something, folks. It is an infinitely more profound sense that a true relationship between God and man, between forgiving God and a sinner, that is a relationship made in heaven. You see, He created us for His goodwill. He made us for His fellowship. And when we are doing those things, that is when life works for us. Just about every year at Living Cross, I'll see two or three folks that at one time were bus workers. At one time, they were soul winners, going out on Thursday nights. At one time, they were in the choir. At one time, you know, they were teaching Sunday school. And then they disappear. I was reading a verse the other day in 1 John. John said, they went out from us because they were not of us. That's a pretty sobering verse, isn't it? And just about every year, there'll be two or three in the four nights that we do Living Cross. And I run into them out here in the hallway. Sometimes they come to me. But most of the time, they stand where they see the direction that I'm going. I get stalked a lot. And they'll see the direction I'm going, and they'll stand and wait on me. And here's what they'll say. They say, Pastor, I sure do miss it. I say, won't you come back? I know I should. Well, why don't you? Well, I know I should. And with head hung down, they'll turn and walk away. That happens a lot. I run into folks out here in town, at the gas station, at the mall, in restaurants. Hey, we miss you. Yeah. And here's the overwhelming testimony that I hear. I hear this more than anything else. Pastor, when I was in the church and serving the Lord, that was the happiest time of my life. Amen. And it's always that way. Because only God can satisfy your soul. The world will never do it. The world will never do it. A few years back, I went down to the Baltimore Zoo with Braden's class. And some of those animals I saw down there, I really didn't have any pity for them. And the reason I say that is because they had it well. Oh, they were penned up, I know that. But they're fed well. And I looked around and I watched them. And you know, some of them have a pretty good life. Food is given to them. I know, you don't have to email me. I know they're locked up. I know that. I understand that. If I had a preference, I'd turn them loose. So hold your emails. They have no threat from predators. They have a place to run, a place to play. And in most areas, there's a male and a female, so they don't get lonely. And then we walked around, and I saw a majestic bald eagle that was cooped up. And I had pity. And the reason I had pity is because the poor thing looked haggardly. Its feathers seemed to fit like a coat that was too big or was worn out. And the poor fellow just sat there on a perch, not even looking around, just looking straight ahead, kind of staring blindly straight ahead. And I thought to myself, how could a majestic creature like that, which God designed to soar, possibly be satisfied with sitting cooped up in a pen with no hope of being free to do what it was made to do? And in the same light, listen to me now, a person who is cooped up through sin, through religion, through pride, through lust, through any number of traps and snares laid before us by the devil. How could that person ever be satisfied with the snares that keep them bound? Are you thirsty tonight? Are you hungry tonight? Come to the Lord and let the Lord set you free and bring that ever fleeting satisfaction to your soul. You'll never find it until you come to Christ.